Guess what, fellas? The boys are buzzing because hockey is back. Want to know what else is buzzing? The Lawnmower 4.0 from our friends at Manscaped. They are the global leaders in male grooming, trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Don't get chirped this year for having a disaster below the waist. Join the Manscaped movement for all your hairiest grooming needs. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HAYES, that's HAYES, at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com and you'll save 20% off plus free shipping. Joining us now on Overdrive here is our TSN hockey insider, Chris Johnston. Kind of feels like deja vu, doesn't it, CJ? We've been doing this for a long, long time with this Maple Leaf team, and they love a press conference, man. They always say the right things, and it was the same thing after the collapse against Montreal. It's the same thing after the brutal outing in Pittsburgh, that back to the drawing board, clean slate, we'll figure it out. Is there any reason to believe that's actually going to happen as of tonight?
Great question. I really don't know what's going to come next. And, you know, I think that part of the reason you get such an emotional reaction on Saturday from portions of the fan base in particular, you know, the facts are obvious. The team they lost to, the way they lost, the score, all those things. But I do think it's the familiar feeling. And you know, that's where I think a lot of that comes from, is, you know, people that care about this team, that are emotionally invested in it, you know, kind of feel like they've got no reason to believe that, and then they want to see it. You know, it's almost like, don't tell me what's going to happen. You got to show me. And, you know, it's crazy because it's, you know, it is six games into a season. And I think we can all take a step back in our roles and look at the big picture and realize, okay, just because you lose two games the way they did Friday and Saturday doesn't, you know, there's still a lot to be contested here. But, you know, part of what I think this group is going to have to deal with is that if they have further losses like this, you know, they're going to hear more and more from the media. Obviously, parts of the fan base are, you know, getting a little crazy. And you know, there's still a long way to go before they can really do anything. And so, you know, today Auston Matthews was calling it the outside noise. They can't let it shake them. Well, you know, I think there's still a few more volumes that can go up here if things don't turn around quickly.
Are you not surprised at all? We were obviously talking about them off the top, CJ, and it was like, not one of them, they talk about the noise or whatever they want to describe it, but they're handing us this garbage to deal with and we have to talk about it. Is it supposed to be all rosy? I'm just shocked not one of them said, we're all pissed off in here and we got a game to win tonight, not about being buddies with Freddie Anderson or watching football with him. Just like a total no-nonsense attitude saying, we just got to win a game tonight. There was almost none of that.
Right. I mean, probably the closest was Morgan Riley, right? He said that, you know, they have to prove that they can break their bad habits. I mean, there's at least acknowledgement in there that the reason we're all having this discussion, you know, stemmed from what happened on the ice, which was what the players could control. You know, look, I get it. I think I get it in the sense of this. Things do go over the top here. I mean, this team has a huge following. You know, people care. They're invested generations, and they haven't had too much to get excited about. And so when it goes wrong, like, I do understand why some people are really lose it. And I think that they're trying, you know, the players, they don't want to think about that stuff. And so maybe that's where the disconnect happens. But, you know, I'm with you. Like, I do think that there is an element of, yeah, tonight's game really doesn't prove anything one way or another. If they have a big emphatic win, you know, it doesn't mean that they'll be spared from future freakouts if, you know, things don't go well. And if they lose tonight, the season isn't lost either. But, you know, you do feel like they need to issue a response. And I think, you know, more than anything, just give us all a reason not to focus on this stuff. And, you know, they can do that by winning games and performing and have the top guys producing points and all the things that you know, will ultimately lead this season to a place they want it to go.
CJ, what is, like, if this nonsense keeps up, what is a shakeup with this team even look like? Like, what is that?
I don't really know. You know, I really don't, because, I can't even imagine circumstances that would see, say, one of the main pieces of the team traded in season. I mean, I guess everything's possible. It's sports. You know, crazy things do happen. But, like, to me, that isn't really a card to be played here. You know, it might be considered in the offseason, depending on what happens these next few months. But, you know, I really don't think that's too likely in the moment. It doesn't feel like Sheldon Keefe is a coach, you know, that's on the ropes or by any means. I mean, he got his two-year extension before the year started. You know, the team's won a lot of regular season games since he's taken over, too. And you know, so obviously with his relationship with Kyle Dubas, yeah, I I don't know what it looks like. It's kind of, you know, you go through the possible options, and I don't really see any of them being too likely. I guess it depends how bad it could get. You know, maybe you see something more rash happen if they really stink it up. But, you know, again, there's 76 more games, and I still think it's more likely than not that this team's going to be good and going to, you know, quite comfortably cruise into the playoffs. And you know, if that doesn't happen, I guess anything is possible. But, you know, I still think that, you know, they'll probably right themselves and sooner than later, and it won't get to the point where we're having those really big existential questions about the fate of the organization.
CJ, I'm a believer in just giving time for things to sort out. Like, I think we judge teams 20 games into the season, kind of like we used to do, you know, before the last couple of years of COVID and condensed schedules and that. But, you know, we saw in Montreal go 0-4 and Mark Bergevin impromptu press conference. The guys and I were talking last hour. I thought, would you like to hear from Shanahan or Dubas, or do you think it would just be the same lip service as basically that we got before the six games, like at the start of the season? Because I don't think anything would change, and I don't think anything changes in their mind. They just want more from their players.
Right. Well, I mean, it depends what hat you're asking me to wear to answer that question. I mean, as a journalist, of course, you know, it's great to have the theater of that. It's great to, you know, see how they handle difficult questions, you know, potentially can learn something in that. But I mean, reasonably looking at, you know, what happened in Montreal with Mark Bergevin's press conference last week, like I don't really think it changed the conditions for the players of the team too much. I mean, you know, clearly he felt the need to defend them and to come out and say he wasn't going to make changes and that the group would sort it out with time. But, you know, I don't think it really quieted the conversation around the team. It just might have been one day that the players had a bit of shielding there. You know, so I don't, if I was, you know, certainly no one's ever asked me to run PR for the Leafs, but I'm guessing that there's really not a lot of upside. I mean, again, if it gets really bad, you know, you probably pull that move. But, you know, at this point in time, I think that would probably look panicky. It might come off as not what you want it to be, you know, if they had, you know, someone like that step in front of the mic. And you're right. I mean, really, I think if you're running the team, you just want to buy enough time to see what they really are. I mean, it's
right.
I don't think any of us can say for sure, like, yeah, it hasn't gone well for a few players. A couple guys have played well we could talk about. But, like, I don't think we have any idea what this team is, how it's going to look. Are they going to keep Matthews and Marner apart long term? I mean, just that is new. I mean, Sheldon Keefe's basically never done it since he took over for coach, you know, 2 years ago. So, you know, I think that you'd love to see it stabilize if you're in the upper suite of management enough to get a read on the team before you're out there having to do that. And so I'd be surprised if they did it. I'd like it as a journalist, but I understand why it hasn't happened so far.
Yeah, I think, again, the analysis of this team is pretty clear-cut. I mean, they're better than this. They're capable of playing better than this, and it's very likely they will play better than this if it's not tonight relatively soon. Top four defensemen, specifically the guys who are protected. You know, again, Kyle Dubas, I'd love to be a fly on the wall, because I think William Nylander's played very well. I think Jack Campbell, for the most part, has played well. I think it says something on Saturday night when Campbell didn't claim that was all his fault. That's how bad it is here.
Right.
But he's
right.
Like, I thought I played pretty well. Like, I'm like, that's not what I usually hear when he loses. He always kind of falls on the sword for the boys. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we'll see what comes of it tonight. They're facing a familiar foe in Freddie Anderson. And we were discussing his status here in town and trying to define what this game would be like from his standpoint. I don't think it's a revenge game, because I don't think the organization did him dirty, CJ. I think they felt quite the opposite, that he had this mystery injury. They weren't sure what it was. He didn't play. He couldn't play, and the rest was history. And it got to a point where clearly they just needed to go separate ways. But they gave him the best opportunity his career could possibly ask for, leaving Anaheim. Paid him a lot of money right off the bat. Starts 60-plus games every year. I think he should look back on his time here in Toronto and have fond memories. I would assume that's going to be the case. But how do you define it tonight, the idea of Freddie going up against his old team?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a messy divorce. You know, I spoke with Fred about a week ago. We had a good conversation about his time in Toronto. And the sense I got is he loved the first four seasons, and last year was not great, in large part due to his injury. But he was even just talking about some of the challenges of the COVID season and not being able to live the life that he'd come to love in Toronto, and sort of how those two things spiraled on him the same way. I mean, he's basically stuck in his apartment, and he wasn't playing hockey for a good 2 months there at the end of the year. And, you know, he had a tricky knee injury where what didn't respond well to treatment. He had to see multiple doctors. Like, it wasn't a simple, okay, do these three exercises and then give it some time to rest and everything's going to be fine. I mean, you know, I think it just, it, you're right. It, at the end, both sides probably were happy for a fresh start. But I didn't sense any bitterness there. I would think, if anything, it might be a little bittersweet for him to play the Leafs. I think he'll remember this as a great place in his career. He's obviously close buddies with a lot of the guys, you know, especially Austin. And, you know, there's no revenge to be had, I don't think, for Frederik Anderson. And, you know, I think both sides kind of understood how they got to that point. And, you know, it wasn't even like a big battle about money. I mean, the Leafs weren't offering anything like the money he got in Carolina. He got $4.5 million there for 2 years. But, you know, he's in a good spot now. And then with the way his season started, I mean, it's pretty clear that he kind of feels like that's all behind him too.
With Chris Johnston, we've obviously been focusing a lot on the Leafs and where they currently stand, but there's some other issues throughout the league. Chicago is 0-5-1. They have not led at any point during a game. They haven't had a lead during a game, which is an astonishing stat. Vegas is 1-4. Mm-hmm. Like, they are not in a good place. And L.A., I think, had hopes of taking a big step. Again, very early, understandably, but I look at Vegas and Chicago in particular. Chicago has been dealing with a lot of turmoil off the ice, but Taves is back. They went out and acquired Seth Jones. They went out and acquired Marc-Andre Fleury. They were supposed to get back in the thick of things, and it does not look like that's going to be the case.
Terrible.
What do you think the mood is like in Chicago and, I guess, in Vegas as well, considering the way both teams have started here?
Yeah, I think it's worse in Chicago, even though no one in Vegas is happy with how that started, just because – you know, you trade first-round picks as they did in that Seth Jones deal. I mean, to me, that's a sign your rebuild's over, right? Like, you're not playing now to be bringing in, you know, highly ranked prospects. You know, you give them that contract. And I think that the bigger question there is they might have roster construction issues. They might not have enough talent. And so I think it's worse to have that kind of start in Chicago where you're still not sure what your team is. They turned over a lot of their blue line. You know, obviously brought in Fleury to try to stabilize things in that, and really hasn't happened early in the season. Whereas, you know, Vegas, I guess the bigger issue is their health is not in their favor. You know, being down Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty plus Alex Tuch, you know, for the long term, they're having trouble producing offense, and those are some of their best forwards, right? They haven't scored a power play goal yet. And so, you know, I think that they're in a tough spot because they don't really have a favorable cap situation to try to, you know, make an in-season move. But, you know, if you're in their front office, you're thinking, okay, we get Mark Stone back, you know, things are going to change for us. Like, they know their group can perform, and they're not getting blown out quite to the same way Chicago has. So I think that they can have a little more belief in their process and what they've done in the past to kind of muscle through a tough start. Whereas, you know, the Blackhawks were meant to be good, were aggressive in the offseason, and, you know, it just might not be the right team. It could go really south on them really quick. And like you asked with the Leafs, like, what's the move? I don't know what the move is, but, you know, someone's probably losing a job there.
Yeah, I would think it could be Colleton. I get the impression, like, Stan Bowman is just kind of ironclad there, and I guess that comes with winning three cups. But, man, I'll tell you who's happy to be out of there is Joel Quenneville. Like, he's living it up in South Beach, man. His team wins. He's making a fortune. He's winning games. What does he care about what's going on in Chicago? You know, he's out of there, and it's all good. So,
well, and that's the team, right? Like, that's if you're a Leafs fan, that's what you wanted. Like, it's not just that Florida's 5-0. Like, everything looks good. Everything under the hood looks good. They're outscoring everyone. The players that are supposed to be performing are performing. I mean, I think that's what you're hoping for early in the season. Looks like they're ready to take a step. And, you know, some people predicted that for them. But after taking a step last year, that's not a guarantee for the Panthers, right? Things could have, you know, maybe just not happened automatically for them. But they really, I'm with you. I think that they've signaled themselves as you know, a team to beat in the Atlantic. I mean, we know Tampa will probably be there. We've got to see what the Leafs have, and Boston, I'm not sure. But, you know, this could be a pretty competitive division this year if everyone gets it together.
Well, yeah. And let me add on that quickly. Like, the scary part is, you know, Florida takes a big step, looks amazing. Tampa could just have a mediocre season. Just mediocre, but then they just know how to play. Like, they're battle-tested. Like, that's the scary part. If you know, Florida could win the President's Trophy and Tampa makes it in sixth place. Who are you taking in a playoff series?
Yeah, exactly.
As far as you trust, right? Because Kucherov will be back.
Florida had home ice advantage last year with them.
I know.
Didn't make a difference, right? Like, I'm with you. No one would bet against the Lightning no matter how they get in.
No, nor should they. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, Boston's got the same track record in many ways, not the Cups in the last 2 years, but they're going with a lot of turnover here, in net in particular, but Krejci's not there anymore also. Like, he's been a stalwart for them. But
they just know how to put it together, though.
Yeah, wow. And it feels like they will at some point. Like, they'll run off a stretch where they win, you know, 13 of 15, and it's like, all right, there's the Bruins again. You know, they're back, and they look like they're prepared.
Marchand's had a start already, and he's talking about how he's not even happy with his game.
Right.
It's crazy. I think he's got 8 points already, doesn't he? Like, he's looks pretty good. Like, they're – and that's the other thing I talked about. Like, I grew up in the 80s in Edmonton, and the teams that were around them were awesome. Winnipeg was unbelievable with Howard Chuck, and Calgary had a deep team. It's just that the Oilers were this, like, ridiculous
team.
Run into
a wagon, man.
That's what Tampa is right now, you know, when they, or they have been the last couple of years, you know?
That's the reality of the division and the conference, for that matter. I mean, look at Pittsburgh. Yeah. They just continue to do it regardless of who's in the lineup. And it looks like Sid is right around the corner. And I would expect that they'll just pick up where they've left off, and Washington's probably going to do the same thing. And it's not going to be easy, but it's not supposed to be. And no one's going to throw the Maple Leafs a bone, that's for sure. Carolina, David Ayers is down there, mascot tonight. That's what they need to see. Anyway, CJ.
My goodness. I mean, everything's lined up for chaos, isn't it? I mean, I don't know what the chaos is going to be, but Freddie and Ned, David Ayers doing the pregame thing. I mean,
well, they have to pick that game. Like, couldn't he gone to St. Louis Blues there? And
you don't think they're trolling?
Carolina
him?
Trolling, man. They're the biggest trolls in the league, and you have to tip your cap. You got to be like, that's unbelievable trolling.
I know, but wouldn't you think he would be like, I don't even know what his position was, but didn't he work for, like, MLSE? Where
he worked at the Ford Performance Center, I believe, right?
Maybe I just don't want to go down there and start up the engine when the Leafs are there. I don't know. I don't know.
But he does. They're paying him, probably. He's probably getting an appearance fee.
He could.
I'm sure he would be.
Are you kidding me? Carolina doesn't pay people that work for them. You think they're going to pay somebody to show up and start
offer sheets and appearance fees, man. That's where they find the cash.
They're selling the Ayers 90 T-shirts. I saw an ad on their Twitter today. So, I mean, someone's making money on his name and his likeness.
Yep. Ayers is making something, I guarantee it. I'll bet you he's getting 10 or 20% of that scratch. And you know he's getting flown down there. And he's probably pulled out. Is there a nice hotel in Carolina? Oh, I don't know if there is. But
Hilton Garden Suites right by the mall there.
There you go. That'll work.
Hilton Garden Suites.
I think there is. I've stayed at that Marriott. I think there's a Hilton right there. It's a walking distance to a P.F. Chang's. That's all I know.
Oh, the Crabtree. Yeah,
the Crabtree. There you go.
Okay, so that works. There you go. Put him up there in the presidential suite, and it's all good. David Ayers. It's an all-time great troll job. I mean, full credit to Carolina. They're embracing that reputation. And luckily for them, their team wins a lot of games, so they don't have to answer for anything. It's all good.
That's true.
So,
bunch of jerks.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what they are. And maybe that's what they'll bring back. What was it called? The storm surge? They'll bring that back tonight for the Leafs. Justin Williams will be out there the whole night.
Maybe David Ayers will come out in equipment if they win or something and do something with the storm surge.
I wouldn't put it past them. I wouldn't put it past him out there for a victory lap if they beat the Leafs tonight.
He's Stormy the Pig all of a sudden.
He's right in the middle of everything.
Takes the mask off and it's David Ayers.
Right.
Crazy.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens tonight. We're embracing for chaos. I think that's the best way to put it, CJ. So enjoy it. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, guys. Another big Game 7 for the Leafs tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. It always is. There's Chris Johnston, the TSN Hockey Insider, our TSN Hockey Insider.